What will get you through adversity? What will get you through challenges and problems? A strong spirit. And what will enable you to lay hold of the blessing of God, your healing, your finances, your wisdom, your answer, even though turmoil is all round about you? It's a strong spirit, and strong faith comes out of a strong spirit.
Do you know the key to living in victory? Find out on today's Believer's Voice of Victory. Join special guest teacher Keith Moore as he begins a new series, Cultivate a Lifestyle of Thanksgiving. Learn how giving thanks makes a way for blessing.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Keith Moore, and it's my delight to be with you again today. The Copelands, Brother Kenneth and Miss Gloria, have so graciously invited us and allowed us to be on the Believer's Voice of Victory. And of course, we've had the opportunity to be here before a number of times, and it's just the greatest honor. You know, the Word of God going into the hearts and minds of His people and into those that are not yet His people, and then them becoming His people, is eternal. And the Word is able, the Scripture said, to build us up, to give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. You know, everything we'll ever need, Jesus has already bought and paid for. And He's not withholding any good thing from us, the Scripture said. So it comes then to you and I being built up in our spirit strong enough to where we can receive it. That's the issue. The provision is full, abundant, complete. But we don't receive according to what God has already done. We don't even receive just according to the perfect will of God. We receive according to our faith. Your spirit lays hold of the blessings of God. In Proverbs, it talks about when dealing with sickness, that it's the strong spirit of a man that'll sustain him in time of weakness and even pain. What will get you through adversity? What will get you through challenges and problems? A strong spirit. And what will enable you to lay hold of the blessing of God, your healing, your finances, your wisdom, your answer, even though turmoil is all round about you? It's a strong spirit, and strong faith comes out of a strong spirit. How do you get your spirit strong? Well, just like your body needs food, natural food and exercise, your spirit needs spirit food and spiritual exercise. And thank God for this broadcast. Thank God for this ministry. The Lord has been using the Copelands and these tools to get spiritual food, spiritual nourishment, faith food, spirit food into the hearts and spirits of millions just like you and I. So let's get it today. Let's get fed. Let's get strengthened. Let's get empowered. Why don't you release your faith with me and let's pray over this, and let's pray for the Copelands today and believe that God will encourage them. Father, what an honor it is to be in your service and to be in your ministry. What an honor it is for all of us to be your children and to be your family. How thankful we are that we're not going to hell. We're not lost. We're saved by your wonderful grace. We thank you and ask you for enlightening and giving a heart to hear and eyes to see to everyone receiving today. And we pray your strength and encouragement over the Copelands, Brother Kenneth and Miss Gloria and their family and their staff. Lord, let there come a quickening of the Spirit and help them to rise up to the next level of what you've called them to be and to do. And we just claim with them full anointing and abundance of resources to complete and do everything that you've called them to do. We say, so be it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you can get your Bible, go ahead and get it and get your pen and your paper. And we're going to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter again. In the 15th chapter and the 57th verse, it says, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it didn't just say, thanks be to God who gave us the victory, who did something for us in the past, but who gives, that's gives, giveth, gives and keeps on giving. He's thanking God for present tense things and future things. He's thanking God for things that he hasn't yet experienced. You see the similar thing in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, the 14th verse says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Notice, didn't just say he caused something to happen. He always causes. So this thanksgiving is not just for something that has happened, but it's for something that is happening and something that will yet happen in the future. A lot of people have learned how to thank God after something good has happened. But people of faith have learned and are learning how to thank God before you see the answer, before you feel the results, before the money's in your hands, before the bills are paid, thanking God. And it is a tremendous key to victory, living the victorious life that Jesus came and paid for. If you want to start things to changing, you don't have to wait another moment. Quit complaining about the situation, quit being down, quit focusing on the need and the lack, and begin thanking God for the answer, for the grace, for the strength, for the provision, and immediately you'll begin to come out. It's one of the most powerful things that God's given us as His children. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now go with me again to Matthew. We looked at this, if you were with us on last week's broadcast, and if you weren't, you can go online at kcm.org and you can get caught up in the previous lessons, and it would help you because we already covered a lot of ground. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, we saw one of the strongest reactions and responses of Jesus as recorded throughout all the gospel accounts. And it was when he was describing to them in Matthew 16 how that he was going to be scourged and he's going to be killed. He's going to suffer a lot of things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And in Matthew 16, 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And he said, be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be to you. The margin of my Bible says, the Greek there says, pity thyself. And you see, one of the strongest reactions of Jesus, man, he turned around and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense unto me. You savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Let me read it to you from another translation. It's in the Amplified, it says, he said, get behind me, Satan, you're an offense to me. The NET says, you're a stumbling block to me. The English version, today's English version says, you're an obstacle in my way. The basic English Bible says, you're a danger to me. Another one says, you're tempting me to sin. What was the temptation with Jesus? This temptation to feel sorry for yourself and not be thankful is such a dangerous thing because it can cut you off from the grace of God. The temptation was that he didn't deserve all these things that were about to happen. And this word deserve is the root of the issue here. I've had people come up to Phyllis and myself numerous times over the years, something good happened for us, and they would say, oh, you know, y'all work hard and y'all are in the ministry. Y'all deserve that. And I don't like to hear that because I don't believe that and I don't use those words. It's actually not true. I don't always try to take the time and teach somebody or correct them on it, but what do you mean, Brother Keith, you don't deserve it? Well, if something good happened and supernatural and the Lord did it, it was by His grace. And by very nature of what grace is, if you deserve it, it can't be grace. If it's grace, you didn't deserve it. It has to be this way. Look with me in Romans and you'll see what we're talking about. In Romans, the 4th chapter, and then also the 11th chapter, you begin to see the connection between grace and humility. In Romans, the 4th chapter, he talked about how that if it is by grace, it is not by works. If it's by works, it's not by grace. The scripture said, you know, in James, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you deserve it, if it's owed to you, then you're not deserving it. In Romans 4:4, he said, now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. To him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the godly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Listen to Romans, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse. The New Living says, since it was through God's kindness, then it's not by their good works. For in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. The Complete English, listen to this one. It says, this happened because of God's undeserved kindness, not because of anything they have done. It could not have happened except for God's kindness. The word grace is one of the biggest words in the Bible. It's one of the biggest words in the New Testament. And if you ask people, what is grace? There's a standard phrase that you'll hear many times. People say, well, it's unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. That's true. And probably the key word there is favor. Favor. And I use this terminology when, if you somebody says, I'm going to do you a favor, then you understand they're not, they don't feel like they're obligated to do it for you. They don't feel like they owe it to you. If I'm going to do you a favor, then it's something you should be thankful for, something you're going to acknowledge and you're going to realize it wasn't owed to me. They're doing me a favor. And the key thing that'll let you know that people are seeing this right, that yourself you're seeing it right, is you'll be thankful. But if you think somebody owed it to you, you're not going to be thankful. That's what Romans 4:4 said, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. Now, I know this may not, you may not see the connection at first, but you will afterwards. Some years ago, my dad went home to be with the Lord, and he went home to be with the Lord early. And the circumstances of it, he and I were doing some things together, and he went home to be with the Lord in the middle of it. And especially some days after that, I was bothered. I was troubled. And one of the things that bothered me is that, you know, he wasn't that old. The Lord told us, you know, the days of man are 120 years, and with long life, he'd satisfy us. And there were some things that I had wanted to do with my dad and some things we had planned to do and things connected with the ministry, things personal I wanted to do for him and mom financially and materially. And I thought, well, he's gone now. I won't get to do that. Won't get to do that with him. And for a few days, I felt, you know, displeased about that, and there was grief there. And the Lord spoke to my heart a few days into this. And he said to me, and think about this, my dad's just gone home to be with the Lord. And the Lord said to me, son, he said, you're being unthankful. I thought, wow, really, I'm being unthankful. He said, yes. He said, think about it. How many boys never even knew their dad? Never even knew him. Or how many boys never had a good dad, never spent a lot of quality time with their dad. He asked me a question. He said, do you know how many hours I gave you with your dad? I thought, no. I took a calculator out. I began to figure out, oh man, you know, just thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours and quality time and good times. And the Lord said, you're not being thankful. Oh, friend, are you listening? By focusing on the wrong thing, looking at the wrong thing, I was being unthankful. I was acting like something else was owed to me and not realizing I was so blessed. I had experienced so much good already. I stopped right where I was. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm being unthankful. You've given me all these years with one of the best dads a boy and a son could have. And such friendship, such a relationship, and all these hours. I said, I repent. I'm sorry. I should be thanking you. And I know that he's saved, and I know that he's home with you. I should be thanking you. And so I just started thanking him. And while I was thanking him, he spoke to my heart again. I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but he spoke to my heart again. He said, and besides that, all these things that you're talking about you wanted to do with your dad, who said you're not going to get to do those things with him? He said, your dad, he's not gone. He's not lost. He's with me. And you'll see him soon and very soon. And some of the things that you wanted to do with him, you will yet get to do with him. You and he will get to do together. And some of the things that you thought you wanted to do, when you get there, won't matter. You'll forget. It won't matter anyway. He said, son, your dad's not just in your past. He's in your future. Isn't that wonderful, friend? Isn't it great that according to the Bible, we don't have to sorrow like those who have no hope? But can you see how to be carnally minded is death? That if you let yourself get to focusing on, and here's the three big things that people get in trouble thinking and talking about. What they don't know, what they don't have, and what they can't do. We should not let ourselves think about, meditate, or talk about, or listen to other people talk about these three things. Let me go over them again. Don't let yourself, not even for a little while, don't let yourself dwell on, think about, talk about what you don't know, what you don't have, and what you can't do. Because it'll only produce more darkness. Remember we studied, if you're with us in previous broadcast, we looked in Romans 1:21 and how that the Lord, by the Spirit, showed that individuals didn't acknowledge God and didn't worship and glorify God and weren't thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. When you get to thinking about and talking about what you don't know and what you don't have and what you're not going to be able to do, you're being unthankful for all that you've been given and all that you have had. And it will work darkness in you. The more you talk about it, the darker it'll get, the darker it'll get, and your imaginations will become vain. But in His light, we see light. You begin thanking God. Oh, friend, we got so much to be thankful for. Don't be blinded by the enemy. I mean, if you're watching this broadcast today, a lot of things are going right. You're breathing. Your brain's working. If you're born again, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're working on your mansion right now. Are you listening to me? Jesus is your advocate. He's your intercessor. He ever lives to make intercession for you. You've been given the Holy Spirit to indwell you, to be your helper, your strengthener, your standby. Jesus has washed you from all sins. You understand what I'm talking about? We have so much to be thankful for. The Bible said He has, not going to, not in the process of, He has delivered us from all the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You can always find something to be thankful for, no matter how dark it is, no matter how hard it is, and you know, no matter how blessed you are, you can always find something to gripe about. It's our choice, what we choose to look at. Why don't you just right where you are right now, just choose to look at Jesus. Choose to look at the author and finisher of our faith. Choose to look at victory. Even if you got all kind of symptoms and problems in your body, choose to look at the healer. Choose to look at Him. You remember in the wilderness when in Numbers, when the people of God under Moses' leadership, they begin to complain. The Bible said they begin to murmur. They begin to gripe and complain. And poisonous snakes came into the camp and began to bite the people. And the people begin to get sick and were dying. And they're in a terrible state. You know, they're venom in their veins, snakes biting them, chaos in the camp. And Moses cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him what to do, told him to raise up a brass serpent on the pole. And we know from John, this is a type of Jesus. Why a serpent on a pole? Because Jesus was made sin with our sin as He hung on the cross, brass indicating the judgment of God that fell on Him there. But notice what He told him. He lifted up, He raised up that serpent on the pole, and He told everybody. He said, whoever will look will live. Whoever will look will live. Now get the picture. They've got symptoms. They've got distractions. I mean, some of them have been bitten. They're swelling up. Their blood pressure and their heart is racing and rising. And some of them are not yet bitten, but they heard a snake. They thought a snake crawled across their foot. Snakes have spooked the livestock. And some of them ran over the tent poles and the tent's in the fire. And the kids are running and yelling. And in the midst of this, they have to push everything aside and look at the serpent on the pole. Sometimes people say, well, I hear you saying look at the right thing, but I just can't. The symptoms and circumstances are too distracting. It's too hard. I can't focus. It's not true. Listen, in the midst of all that chaos, these are people that are not yet born again. In the midst of that chaos, they looked, and the Bible said, as many as looked lived. While they were looking on that type of Jesus, if they had been bitten, that venom in their veins was neutralized and harmed them no more. While they were looking, the serpents were removed from them. They were protected from being bitten or from any further damage or harm coming to them. The Amplified Version, talking about that verse, it says it's not talking about a passing glance, but a steady, absorbing gaze. Oh, friend, lift up your eyes off your problem. Lift up your gaze. Fix your gaze, a steady, absorbing gaze on the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't look at your sickness. Look at your healer. Don't look at your bills. Look at your provider. Don't look at your sin. Look at your Savior and lift your hands and give thanks unto God who gives you the victory. Hallelujah. Stay right there. I'll be right back.
Getting a job.
Paying bills.
I would just like to spend more time with my family.
Peace of mind.
Finding hope.
What is it that the world needs now more than ever? God's love. His love is all around you. From the moment you get up to the end of your day, God is there when you need Him. The promise He has for you is more than enough. That's what Kenneth Copeland and Keith Moore are talking about in 20 dynamic teaching sessions. They take God's word and promises right to where you live with their own life experiences and powerful insights. Whether you're studying these teachings one by one or with friends and family, you'll discover a change. You're living life in the love of God. You're pursuing love and enjoying an abundant life. That's exactly what happens when your world is changed by the most powerful force in the universe, God's love. Order your copy of The Promise of More Than Enough, now available for just $18. For a product discount and faster processing, log on to kcm.org and order online. In this dynamic series of 20 messages, Kenneth Copeland and Keith Moore share about all the provision God has for you. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395
You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
Praise God, do you have your eyes on the answer and not on the problem? Well, then you're already coming out. This week, there's a wonderful offer. This series called The Promise of More Than Enough. I had the privilege of being on the broadcast here with Brother Kenneth Copeland himself, and we were talking about and ministering on the love of God and how that leads to abundant life, the life that's more than enough. And it's one of my more enjoyable times that I've had with Brother Kenneth teaching on the broadcast. Revelation began to come, and you know, this love will deliver you from all fear. And one reason why people are not thankful is because they don't realize how much grace God has given to us. And why has He given us so much grace? Because He loves us. Get these and find out and build up your faith and receive the fullness of the love of God. Also, this series we're teaching on called Thanksgiving Victory, you can go online at kcm.org and download all 14 messages at no charge. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is making this available to you. Take advantage of it and feed your spirit on Him. We've got a great meeting coming up. Brother Kenneth and Miss Gloria are coming to Branson. It's the Branson Victory Campaign at our place, March 4th through the 6th. This will be our 8th Branson Victory Campaign. Boy, how the time flies. You're invited. Make plans to come. It's always a wonderful meeting. Branson's a great place. And of course, you know the ministry of the Copelands, and they really enjoy and have their liberty there. So come. More information is available on the website at kcm.org. We're going to be back tomorrow talking about Thanksgiving victory, so be sure that you join us. Till then, I'm Keith Moore. Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of this week's broadcasts on CD or DVD, go to our website or call or write to us today. Remember to download your free copy of Keith Moore's Thanksgiving Victory. This engaging teaching will open your eyes to the power of being thankful and how it can bring blessing, healing, and prosperity to your life. Tell your friends and family to download their copies today. Thanksgiving Victory by Keith Moore, now available free on kcm.org. No matter where you are, if you have internet access, you are seconds away from life-changing answers thanks to the power of search, all new at kcm.org. It's easy. Just find this keyword search block, enter a word, speaker name, topic, or scripture. Search gives you instant 24/7 access to more than 40 years of revelation and inspiration from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Try the new keyword search today at kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. The Copeland Family Meeting in Orlando, Florida is December 3rd through 5th. Join George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons for a time of ministry at the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. A Behind the Mission weekend with Steve and Kelly Swisher is February 19th and 20th in Scottsdale, Arizona at the DoubleTree Paradise Valley Resort. For more information, go to kcm.org.